It is Friday on the Brother Trucker Book Club podcast, and that means Tales from the Road. I am your host, Graham Bradley. Where, oh where, shall we go today? I think on Wednesday that I mentioned I was going to talk about the Canada loads, but I think before I do that, I want to tell you about some of the other ones that I did earlier on in my solo career. What went right and what went wrong? Most of these loads were put in the truck by a conveyor belt. Let's start with the potato loads in Southern California. Through sheer coincidence, I woke up one morning in June of 2013 and I put on an Irish soccer jersey. I guess they call them kits, but they also call it football, so what do they know? I put one on and then I got my dispatch orders for the day and I had to drive out to farm country in Southern California to a potato farm. And the way this thing works is you drive out on a dirt road into the farm. They got a big old barn area where you gotta back the truck in, go to the very back of your big trailer, open up the doors, latch them to the sides, and then you back up to this huge conveyor belt that's sticking out like a diving board, and you've got to drive the open trailer over the conveyor belt. And then you watch in your mirror as a dude who stands off to the side of your truck signals you and then signals the conveyor belt. He tells you to stop and he tells the conveyor belt to run. And then they just dump potatoes onto this conveyor chute and shoot the front of your truck almost full with potatoes. Then they stop the belt and they signal you to roll forward about 10, 20 feet. Do the same thing. And they load a big old empty dry van of a trailer with potatoes. And they've got it down to a science. Obviously, they do it enough. They do it all day long during harvest season. And once they get you loaded to a certain height, they figure that your weight's good. Then they go and scale you out. You sign your paperwork, and you go to wherever the heck these potatoes are going. So I went and delivered the potato load. I wasn't there for the unload of it. I assume that it's similar to what was about to happen with a gypsum load that I did. But I dropped the loaded trailer, picked up an empty trailer at the customer, and that's usually what they do if the customer does enough commerce with your carrier, for example, like they say, hey, we'll just do our loads exclusively through Castle Cargo, then they'll usually have an empty trailer yard of trailers they've already emptied out, and that way you can drop off your loaded one and you don't have to wait for them to get to it and go through the whole process. You can just go grab one of the empties that they already have on standby, get your dispatch orders for your next load and keep on rolling. So I went and got a gypsum load next. Where I grew up in the Las Vegas Valley, to the west of the valley, there's the Blue Diamond gypsum mine. And this is not the last time that this will feature in any one of my trucking stories, but I had to drive all the way up this dirt mountain road that wasn't very well tended. In fact, several times I thought I might have been heading in the wrong direction, but then again, it was the only road up the mountain. So I went up there and had to sign in at the scale house, and they give you a very, very stern warning. Just so you guys know, if you're not familiar with mining operations in the United States, any professional occupation is governed by OSHA, but mining is also governed by MSHA, which is, OSHA for mining. It's way more severe. There are stricter penalties attached to it just because of the inherent risks with the work of mining. This wasn't an underground mine. It was a surface mine. But they tell you very, very strictly, once we send you down to the pit, like open up your doors here, because once we send you down to the pit, you are not allowed to get out of your truck and set foot on the ground. If you do, you personally will be hit with a $5,000 fine. That's how dead serious they are about non-mining personnel not actively entering the mining area. Obviously, I've got to get the truck down there to get it over the conveyor belt so they can load it up with gypsum powder. But other than that, like I am not allowed out of the truck on foot. So same thing as with the potatoes. You drive, you back up the truck over the conveyor chute. They load you up with crushed up gypsum powder so that it can go somewhere and be used for making drywall and plaster and whatever else. And then they'll signal you forward, load you again, signal you forward, load you again until you've got most of a truck full of this powdered gypsum. Then once they signal you're good, you drive out of the mining area and back up to the parking area. And that's where you've got to get on the scale and figure out not only what your overall weight is, but your weight distribution. My truck that I was driving for them was rated to only be a maximum of 80,000 pounds. That included truck, trailer, and fuel, and however fat I was for the day. But aside from the gross weight, the distribution mattered too. You could only be 12,000 pounds on your steer axle, very front, then 34 on your drive axle, that's the back tires of the truck, and 34 on your tandems, that's the back axle of the trailer. And if the distribution was off at all, you had to unpin the rear axle of the trailer and slide that back or forth, or you had to unpin the fifth wheel plate on the truck and slide that back or forth. There was a formula, and they had a little diagram in the book for the truck to show you how to do it, and then go over the scale again. And this could be a maddening process, especially if you had a truck like mine where the fifth wheel was stuck and it took an hour to get it moved. The process usually should only take about 10 minutes. But they got me loaded with the powdered gypsum, got me all scaled out. I was just about to the max of my weight level, and then I had to drive to California. And this process was pretty cool. I put some pictures up online when it happened. I'll probably do a post about this later. But from there, you end up backing your truck at the customer up onto a ramp, and then you disconnect the trailer. They lock it down to this ramp. Then they open the doors. You pull your truck away, and this ramp lifts the truck up into the air, or excuse me, lifts the trailer up into the air like a dump truck at something very close to or higher than a 45 degree angle, and just dumps all of the gypsum into a massive pile on the ground that then they will pick up then with a front end loader. And of course they won't be able to get everything with the dump, but they'll get most of it. They drop the trailer back down, you hook up to it again, and then you pull off to the side and get in there with a hose and spray all the gypsum out. So there's a number of different products that you'll haul as a long hauler, where they've got to back you onto a conveyor belt and then just lift up the trailer and dump it all out. So those were some of the first few loads that I handled, but none of them was more dangerous than doing hay loads, doing bales of hay. There is a very particular reason for this. When you think of hay bale, you might think of the simple one that's, you know, 4 feet long, 2.5 feet high, 2.5 feet wide, or whatever the dimensions are. It's, you know, it's a long rectangular brick. The stuff that they load commercially, though, is massive. They have gigantic loaders to pick it up, and it is almost the exact dimensions of the opening of the back of a trailer. The trailer itself, the very top of it, is 13.5 feet tall and is 8.5 feet wide. I think you might have 10.5 feet of height, maybe a little bit less than that. It might be like 9.5. I think the floor of the trailer is about 3.5 feet off the ground, maybe more. Anyway, the point is, they'll have a loader bring these two massive bales of hay and set them on the very back of the trailer, and it is just large enough that it will fit inside, and then they put a big old ram on the front of the forklift, and they'll ram that big old bale of hay all the way to the front of the trailer. Now, the first thing that they tell you, and they stress this if you've never done a hay load before, is during the active loading process, you absolutely do not get in the trailer, not for anything. Because the guy who's running the loader can't see past the big old bale of hay in front of him. And if you climb in there to check something or anything at all, he can't see that you're in the truck. And he'll put another load of hay in there, and he will smash it into place to push it all the way forward, and you will be crushed. A single one of those things weighs about 1,500 pounds. And there's some, you know, I don't think it's an urban legend. I think it's a true story, and this is the cautionary tale that they tell to everybody. But there was some driver who decided to get in there and didn't tell the loader. Loader didn't know. Loader finished loading the hay, because they've got to load a ton of trucks in a day. They got to keep things moving. And he got smashed between two bales of hay. And after the truck was loaded, the loader went to go find the driver to send him on his way. Couldn't find him, but he saw the trucker dripping out of two slats in the side of the trailer. So, that definitely left a vivid image in my mind to say, okay, I absolutely won't get into the truck while they're loading the hay into it. But my first experience with hay loading was still not a very positive one, because you have to go drive out into a dirt field to do it. And I had just driven into a dirt field for the potatoes. I thought, okay, this should be easy. Well, this one was a little bit softer. And of course, I got the truck stuck in the dirt on this hay load. The loader put two or four bales of hay in my trailer. And then he's like, actually, hey, this will be easier if you come follow me. So I go to turn around, and of course the truck is stuck. And he's like, oh, hey, I'll give you a quick push. He goes and rams his gigantic forklift loader into the back of my trailer and ends up damaging the trailer. And then he's not able to load me, and I'm not able to get out. So I had to call safety. I had to call dispatch. They recorded it as an incidental failure or something on my part, anything to blame the driver. was like, dude, I went exactly where they told me to go. But they had to call a heavy wrecker to come pull me out of the dirt. For added amusement, the guy who was operating the wrecker was Hispanic, and his name was Asensio, which kind of like means uplift. And here he was to come hook my truck and lift it up out of the dirt. I was like, that's pretty cool, man. So high-fived him for that one. But of course, by the time they got me out of the dirt, it was too late at night for me to finish getting loaded. So I had to drive over to the nearest truck stop. I'm trying to remember the names of these towns. It was right on the California-Arizona border. I got loaded in California, but the truck stop was in Arizona. I shut down there for the night. Had to go to a repair shop and have them fix the back of the trailer so that the doors could lock. And then go get the rest of the hay loaded on me. And I ended up being detained for 20 total hours, and you can get detention pay if you're held up. So they ended up paying me like an extra $100 for them damaging the trailer and making me wait. Not that that recuperated the cost of the wrecker pulling me out of the dirt, which is something that the company paid for. But those were my first couple of loads running solo, were gypsum, potatoes, and hay. You know, all in the same kind of trailer, all pulled in the same truck, and you learn different things with them every time. Needless to say, that hay load was one of the bigger challenges of my nascent trucking career, with stuff getting broken, stuff getting stuck, stuff getting blamed on the driver. That's a recurring theme that I'll probably hit on a few more times in future episodes as I'm driving solo, is anything that can be made the trucker's fault will be made the trucker's fault by corporate, and they'll use that when it comes time to talk about your quarterly bonuses that you've been working so hard to earn. But anyway, that's it for this week. I think next week I definitely will talk about Canada, because that's when things got a little bit more interesting. But that's it for now. Thanks for listening. Y'all drive safe. See you out there.